big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Mick Wall podcast featuring the one and only...
I still struggle with the title of this podcast.
Yes.
The Mick Wall podcast.
I know, I worry about it.
Yeah, I worry about it.
So, John, you had a marvellous idea on how to start the episode.
Well, only to say that over Christmas, Boxing Day, to be precise.
Which is always the best day of Christmas.
I remember
Christmas.
The day.
Because the nightmare is over.
And it's the Boxing Day Test match, which always starts at the Melbourne Cricket Ground in Australia. So it starts about 11:30 at night.
What is this, tennis?
Yes, that's right. Starts 11:30 at night, so I always stay. Australia v South Africa this year.
You're trying to explain why you stayed up till 11:30 at night.
Well, no, I say beyond that because it started at 11:30.
Whoa, you fucking rock and roller!
Got started.
Phew, rock
so
and roll.
So obviously had some time to kill before then.
Don't pretend you weren't glued
so I
said,
like,
to the
Christ,
set,
the,
hoping
okay,
you'd
oh,
see me.
Oh God, you know the. Endlessly slow time, Christmas Day dragging my, Boxing Day dragging my, what's the time? Scanning round the channels, not expecting, you know, much, to be honest.
And finding.
And then all of a sudden, I couldn't know if I was hallucinating or not because I look at the TV and there's this person.
Very close to your heart.
They're wearing a paisley shirt, like a bright blue paisley shirt, right?
You mean they're very, like, a very fashionable
Very
kind of
fashionable
guy,
yeah. About 1965.
Very rock and roll.
So it looks like...
Retro.
Like he, yeah, it looks like he's... You know, and I thought the caption had come up, you know, ex-member of Dave Dozy, Beaky Mick and Titch. No,
ex-Stone.
No.
Stone
yeah.
Alone.
Stone Alone. Obviously, these documentary makers have pushed the boat out.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got your old friend, Mick Wall. And I'm just looking at your face. It took a minute to... Because I'm
quality.
Obviously
quality
so
items.
Used to looking at you over the years. It just sort of just was one
took
of those...
Took a moment.
It occupied that space between
wonderment
reality and
joy.
Imagination. And then I realised you were talking on the TV and you were going on about heavy metal.
Well, I wasn't going on about it. I was answering a series of very intelligent questions.
Well, so I thought. So anyway, thankfully, immediately after that, it cut to a commercial break, and it said the name of the show, which was Britain's Greatest Rock Songs.
Ever.
No, Britain's Greatest Rock Songs. But unfortunately, the caption card on the TV said something different. Said Britain's Greatest Rock Hits.
Oh.
And that's when I thought there may be a bit of repurposing had gone on here for Boxing Day, just to fill some hours.
No,
that
was a brand new thing we did. We did a couple of months before Christmas.
Oh, okay, so you will now tell us. But the greatest moment of all. So it's going through rock songs. So you get a bit of Thin Lizzy, and then Mick Wall comes on, talks about Thin Lizzy. There's a few other people on there. Claire Sturgis is on there, the DJ. And then there's some other DJ girl
who stole my job on Radio
1.
Well,
she seemed very good.
I auditioned for the same job that she got.
I really enjoyed her contributions. They were very lucid. There were a few other people. The most horrible part of all was this big face filled the screen. I mean, it filled the screen. This huge beard and grey hair and a grey beard. And I'm like, what's it like, Jerry Garcia or something?
Oh, Jerry Ewing.
Jerry Ewing, who I haven't seen for like donkeys.
Well, when you say grey hair, what you mean is nothing on top and like.
No, he's got hair, isn't he? I think he's got hair.
Have you ever heard of the phrase comb over?
Oh, okay. Maybe it's a bit of a Bobby Sharp. It was certainly like. And then
he's
the big
certainly
beard,
got a beard.
The big beard. And he goes, oh, well, yeah. Phil Lynott or whatever, talking absolute nonsense.
Yes.
And then, your good self. And then a few sort of muso contributors, they built up to, they're going through the hits, so you get a bit of Rainbow or something, Since You've Been Gone or something like that, and then you get...
Stargazer.
You don't get Stargazer. It's not that sort of show, You get... You get to a bit of Iron Maiden, I think,
Probably.
Yeah.
And I honestly haven't watched it.
And then you get the Ace of Spades. This is my favourite bit. Because they just cut to you for no reason.
They just cut to me for no reason.
You were on highly camp form from start to finish.
This
was your greatest moment. They start the intro, and then it just cuts to you, and you go, everybody loves Ace of Spades. Exactly like that. It was like listening to Kenneth Williams. I urge everyone to go onto the iPlayer and watch it back.
No, I feel the fact that you were up so late at night for you, so past your bedtime, you were clearly hallucinating. What do you mean, for some
and
reason?
Because then you start going, oh, well, yes, Lemmy said to me years later, and as Lemmy did this, Lemmy and me did this, Lemmy
That's
and me
right.
did that.
Yes, because we
then
did.
It goes on to sort of Guns N' Roses. Oh, no, here comes Guns N' Roses. I know whose horrible face is going to pop up again here.
I didn't see the Guns N' Roses bit. Go on.
Because you said... Oh, yes, you had bands at the time. There were bands in the 1980s, you said, something like that.
There
was Bon Jovi, there was Def Leppard.
Yes.
Yeah, but they were just like, stuff that had come along before. And then this band came along, and I could not believe how amazing they were.
It's true. Yeah. All true, you see.
And then you started trotting out your Guns N' Roses stories. Well familiar to all listeners of this podcast.
No. Off the cuff, magic. Previously.
So tell us how you came to be involved with this wonderful Boxing Day project that I had to watch.
Well,
thankfully, the test match started before Guns N' Roses came.
Oh, that was a life saver. And you were still awake. Well, John, it may come as a surprise to you, but I am regularly invited onto stage, screen, radio, and online, I believe the kids call it, to offer my insights and warm first-hand memories.
Everybody loves Ace of Spades. That's what they need someone to say.
It happens so often. I have a standard reply that I literally just paste now, which is along the lines of, I've streamlined it over the years because no one wants a long email. Of course, I can't remember the exact words now, but it's along the lines of, yeah, sounds great. I've done a million of these, written, produced them, and guested. Before you tell me how small your budget is, how tight it is, just as I used to tell people, I will not do it for less than. Plus expenses. If there's any problem with this, I wish you well.
Yeah.
But I'm out.
Yeah. So you sound like David Coverdale and then Simon Cowell.
There you go.
They're perfect.
Yeah. Or more like dragons, then we go, I'm out.
I wish you well.
Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
And of course, one or two are foolish enough to respond with. It's the very words I've told them not to respond with.
Well, they've gone, I'll spend half the budget on Jerry Ewing. I'll spend half the budget.
In fairness, on this particular occasion, it was much more pleasant. The producer...
Yeah, because you had all these keyboards behind you. So it was like you were on backstage at some wonderful venue somewhere.
That's right. It was a fantastic room in London that was now used as a studio, but it was very boutique.
Yeah, it looked it, yeah.
Very deliberately kind of old-fashioned and wood panelling and very analogue.
Yeah. That's why you had that shirt. They probably... Did they buy you that shirt?
No, I bought that shirt myself. Expensive.
Did you get it on Etsy?
Well, free to those that can afford
it. Tax write-off.
Very expensive.
Tax write-off. Mick Wall, tax returns. TV shirt. £30.
No, I do have TV and tour attire. Well, when you're on so often.
Yeah. What do you need to wear on tour?
Well, I can't keep wearing the same shirt.
Bomber jacket, jeans.
Bomber jacket? No, no. God bless you. God bless you. When I drag you on stage with me, hopefully sometime this year,
we'll
see about that. Yeah. But,
I've got a reply worked up. I've done a million of these things. Unless you've got X amount. I wish you well, Michael.
It was a very, very, very nice writer-producer called Verity, and genuine rock fan. She came to the Dio premiere, which was actually the night before. I ended up doing two recordings for them. The night before the first
one. You're going to be on again?
No. What happened? There was clearly some dreadful error because I did this whole thing up in Camden at the MTV studios. And they had one of those big screens behind me where you would be able to put your own images.
You put pictures of you and Lemmy and stuff.
And it completely fucked up. So I had to go back to this other place in London where instead of the screen, they contrived that weird area.
Yeah, it was good. It was very.
But she was really, really good. I was very impressed with her. She really does know her rock music. And the only bit I was a bit saddened by was I noticed because that's how I thought
you said you hadn't seen it.
I'm going to tell you if you just. So you're not giving me the space.
You're now going to reveal you have seen it.
No, I've seen bits.
Right.
But here's what I saw on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. When I was very ill, that guy John Robb. You know John Robb?
I did, yeah, he was in it. John Robb was in it. Because they every now and again they did that thing where they lapse into something like The Clash, where you go...
Yeah, but they also had him doing others. For instance, Thin Lizzy.
Thin Lizzy.
I didn't get to speak about Thin Lizzy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, the world was denied your views on Thin Lizzy.
I just like to say, how often was John hanging out with Phil and the boys? Shall I tell you?
Oh, Phil Lynott.
Never.
Phil Lynott.
Never.
Phil, how many times did Phil Lynott offer John Robb heroin? Yeah, never.
How many times did John Robb say yes and then goodbye to the next 4 years of his life?
Yeah.
Never.
Never.
Anyway, John Robb posts something. I've got nothing against John Robb, by the way. But someone did this whole thing, John, thank you for the lovely words you said about Phil Lynott and Thin Lizzy. I'm going, what?
So the man who in sounds would have dismissed
absolutely
Phil Lynott.
Yes.
Because he's reviewing the Membranes or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the Anti-Nowhere League.
And it's still got the hair.
Got the hair.
Sort of a Dave Ling.
So we say we've got nothing against John Robb, but we sort of have.
No. He's a lovely man. Lovely man. Anyway, so I put the thing up on the telly to see. I'm thinking, hang on. But what about what I did on Thin Lizzy?
Well, I think...
Yeah, I who knew...
I think the truth is that you'd been on so many times. They thought it's just going to be a show with Mick Wall. To occasionally
you
counter,
say that like that's
occasionally
a bad thing.
Counterpointed by Jerry Ewing and Claire Sturgis, who stole your job.
Mm,
yeah,
she did.
Yeah,
I'm not bitter. It was 30 years it was ago. Only, it was only, some of us don't forget.
It was only 30. It feels 33, like yesterday.
33 like years yesterday. This year. 33 and a
She's
third.
She's still doing very well, I see. She still seems to be on the radio.
Oh, does she? I never hear her.
Seems to be doing.
I thought
very
perhaps
well.
She'd retired. I thought, fucking hell, I thought she was dead, you know, but there she was. Just John gets nervous when I say things like that.
I'm not.
The lawyers! What? The lawyers! It's a joke. It's just a joke. I love Claire.
She's a very nice person.
I know she is. Yeah, I assume, think? Anyway. Many people that have told me that. Anyway, so I get the thing up. Where's me? No me.
What, on, this is just the Thin Lizzy
yeah.
bit? Because you were on every other bit.
Well, not every other bit, but no me on Thin Lizzy.
You weren't on The Clash or something?
No, that's all right, I don't mind
who
that.
Who wants to be on that?
Especially when the first
and
Mick
Jerry
Jones
Ewing's
you think
ow,
of
ow,
is the
ow,
other.
Ow, Jerry Ewing's bits. Ow, 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 it's Pink Floyd. Or whatever.
Yeah. So, no Thin Lizzy. And I distinctly remember.
They were only talking about, what song do you think they were talking about?
Boys Are Back in
Town. Of course, yeah, so it wasn't.
But I think I did my whole Thin Lizzy thing at that first interview.
Oh, that's why they cut it out.
Yeah. In fairness, I was always...
That's what they told your agent.
I'm always in a hurry to leave. And I remember on both occasions, she was going, oh, if only you could stay another half an hour. There's so much more to do. And I'm like...
Yeah.
I'm on a mercilessly tight budget
that,
here.
It also says in the email, I will not be there for more than an hour. Whatever the circumstance. In fact, if I'm in the middle of a word, I'll stop saying that word.
That's right, because I'm a professional.
Yeah.
Right, now listen, we must move on.
Oh, yes.
We must move on. I don't know if you're aware, but we're actually recording this. Right, now something... Oh, before we get on to the other item, just quickly, speaking of greatest rock ever.
Yeah.
Have you... Well, I know you have. Because I sent it to you, but I was somebody sent me one of our regular callers, John, and readers sent me a video for the Steel Panther song.
Yes, it's relatively 1987. Yes, isn't it? What
it's
a year!
Brilliant!
It is amazing.
It's a brilliant song.
Yes, it is very good because it's got the right elements of nostalgia and sadness for a lost time.
Yeah, it really.
It does because it touches on all of those people and things that were happening at the time.
And the opening line, I haven't got the opening line, but it's something like, you know, appetite for destruction came and blew my mind or something like that. Yeah.
He's a good singer, that guy.
He talks about Coverdale and Tawny. Just fantastic song. But it was weird. I sent it to you and you had the same reaction I had where you said it made me feel a bit sad.
Yeah.
It did me too.
Yeah.
Because you go, oh, my God, they were great days.
Yeah, and it was a long time ago.
It was a fucking long time ago.
And yet the Panther guys are still pulling it off. Because they were all those guys were in bands around that time, you know.
They can't be that old,
they
surely.
Are, yeah, yeah.
Michael, no.
Michael Starr, the singer, yeah.
How old's he?
He's
Michael Starr.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He's a contemporary of all those people, yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Really?
Yes.
He doesn't look old enough.
Well, no, but it's because you look old. I mean, everyone else does.
No. People are often shocked when I tell them how old I am.
Yeah. they don't believe. Literally don't. 45... That's your stage age, as they say. That's my stage age.
Stage age, darling. Yeah. You can't knock that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the video's amazing.
Very good. Check it out. Yeah.
Go and look at it right now on YouTube. But stream the song. I mean, I actually really like Steel Panther's songs.
They do. I like the one. But, I like the one about Tiger Woods. Is amazing.
But this, I think, is next level.
There's a great line in that, tell the wife you're golfing nights. It's amazing. It's a very funny song. I don't suppose Tiger thinks it's that funny, but I did.
I think they are probably my favourite rock band in the world.
Well, if you've ever seen... I thought it's worth seeing on YouTube is before they were Steel Panther, they used to do this thing called Metal Shop in LA, and it was something like every Thursday night, and they would play covers of classic, you know, that era. So it was like Round and Round and Photograph and all that stuff, And not only is the guitarist is brilliant because he can do all that stuff. The singer, he does Coverdale, he does Rat, he does all of them brilliantly. I mean, it's worth checking out, and live as well. Really, really good singer. Really good singer.
Yeah, I think they are definitely, because like all great comedy or great satire or whatever you might want to call it, it works best. It's like, you know, they say the Irish tell the best Irish jokes.
Yeah, you have to be on the inside. It's an inside thing.
You have to be
thing,
an insider
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
They actually are those people.
Yeah, they
a bit
are.
Of them
yeah.
are those people.
Yeah, that's right. They were
but
those, were and are
smart
those people.
Enough to.
Well, it's only now. I mean, they're sort of having their sort of fifth bite of the cherry, really, aren't they? And here come the dogs.
Yeah, okay, so.
The wolves.
Yeah, the current Mrs. Wall, I believe, has. Her chariot has just alighted outside. So I'm just going to pause this for 1 second, John.
Did you press play?
Due to the wonders of modern technical advancement, the current Mrs. Wall is now in, and the
She's
dogs
in
are
the
dead.
Building.
Yeah,
She's in the building, yeah.
So, anyway, John, you were saying...
Steel Panther effectively are having their cake and eating it, aren't they? They're being rock stars while... parodying the state of being rock stars,
which is a great get-out clause.
It's like, I am ironically shagging this groupie. You know, it's
like, I am ironically snorting cocaine off the bare bottom of a stripper from the what was it called? The mud club? No,
the Tropicana.
Tropicana, yeah.
I am ironically taking this huge check to my accountant. But no, they're brilliant. I've been fair placing because they do it in their spirit of it's funny. They're sending it up. It's the whole, you know, what's wrong with being sexy thing. It's that, but turned into a band. You know?
Yeah, I when will the movie be? Or when will the
They should do
the
a
Netflix,
movie, shouldn't they, actually?
The Netflix
they should,
reality
they should
show.
Do a, they should do a...
They could do like a Monkees.
Yeah, they should do a film. They're probably actually better at that than... Because the albums are great, but then... I mean, they're not...
Now, you need the...
You don't necessarily want to keep listening to them, but they're great live because they're funny, and especially if they come on at a festival.
I bet people have come to them because if you think of what was it called? You know, the Michael Myers parody.
Oh, Austin Powers.
No, the rock thing he did. You know, with the Dave Lynn character.
Oh, yeah, Wayne's World.
Wayne's World.
Yeah. Yeah.
That always used to remind me of Jerry Ewing and Dave Ling, actually.
That's not Dave Ling.
I think it fucking is. Back when he had hair, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
They should do a film. But it's coming up with the right frame for it. You know, it's working out.
Well, there's our next job, John.
Yeah, we could do that. I could do that.
10 minutes.
I was very experienced.
Actually, that's true, isn't it? These days, you're known as a script doctor.
Now I've got my IMDb credits.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, I'm on there.
Have you?
Check me out. Yeah.
And what's that? What's that? I'm a div? What's that? You don't know, do you?
No.
Internet Movie Database.
Yeah, is that what it is?
I don't fucking
Whatever.
Know. That's a wild guess, isn't it?
Whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, so moving on. Are we moving on?
Yeah,
go on. Check out 1987 by Steel Panther. It came out at the end of last year, but it is already the song of 2023.
It is.
Now, another item came up, which we're going to delve into here. Again, before Christmas, before I came down with severe flu,
yeah.
And John was too busy writing his scripts and having script conferences. Oh, I can't make Monday. I'm in a scripts meeting.
Oh, did I mention?
It might spill over into the next day.
No, I never said that.
Yes, you did.
Piss off.
I'll have to get back to you. Let me just check. Oh, Simon, are we spilling over? Because I might have something to do the next day. No, nothing important. No.
So bitter.
God, no. Right, so a list of groups, rock groups, that were banned in the Soviet Union has surfaced.
Yeah. I saw this on Twitter, yeah. In fact, I think I sent it to you.
Because you may have
Because it was amusing.
Oh, my God. I was just looking at some of them. And it lists the bands, and then it lists the official reason why they weren't allowed to be banned. Yeah. So some make a certain amount of sense. Like Black Sabbath, the reason was violence and religious obscurantism.
Yes, which I think we can all agree
with. We can all agree on.
Because they probably phoned up Tony Iommi and said, Tony, are you a Satanist? And he just went, I can't talk about that.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
I can't. Maybe Geezer.
Of course, Geezer. Yeah, Geezer's got a great brain.
Maybe Geezer said something about it. I don't know.
I love this one. Nazareth. We were talking about Nazareth on a recent pod. Yeah. I'm a bad boy. Well, now we know why he was a bad boy, because in the Soviet Union, they were banned for violence, religious mysticism, and sadism. Where did they get that from?
I don't know. I mean, but they probably had a song that once translated into Russian implied some sort of sexual deviance.
I achieve sexual satisfaction from beating the shit out of you or whipping you. Or,
something.
That's fair enough. Pink Floyd interfering with the foreign policy of the USSR.
Yeah.
In brackets, Afghanistan.
Yeah, well, that's true, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, Roger Waters, he's always going on about it, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't know, is he? I mean, The Wall came out in 1980. They only did one more album after that with Roger, didn't they?
Waters would have said something about it.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And he'd have been on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kiss.
Well, they're rightly banned. At least until the Moscow Peace Festival.
They weren't at that.
Now we're going to hear why.
Now, if Doc had managed them in those days, they'd have been top of the bill. And with Pyro. Now, they were banned in the Soviet Union for nationalism and violence.
Yes. Both of those things.
Definitely.
Both of those. I mean, nationalism, definitely, because they're always going on about Detroit Rock City. USA, rock and roll capital of the world. That's nationalist.
Yes. That is aggressively.
Aggressively so.
Yeah.
But if you're in the USSR, what are you going to think about all the flag waving and all the rest of it? You're going to ban them. I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love this one, Crocus.
Yes,
Crocus.
You're formulating Soviet foreign policy. You immediately think of Crocus.
Crocus.
I do. Long stick goes boom.
What I like is they've spelt crocus with a C.
Yeah, as in the flower.
And they were banned for violence and cult of personality.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Mark Starace.
Mark Starace, the big Malteser. He was a character. He was a character, you've got to say.
I once went
he was
on...
He was once in a band called T.
T?
Yeah, T-E-A, T, yeah.
Says it all, really.
Yeah.
Well, there's your cult of personality,
Personality.
Yeah. You see?
Exactly.
Actuality. Yeah.
Well, we talked before. I think I'm sure we've talked before on the pod. Wasn't there supposed to be a fight between Twisted Sister and Crocus?
Maybe.
Def Leppard and Crocus, maybe.
What?
Were they not on tour or something? And there was definitely going to be a fight because Joe Elliott was going about how. Mark Starace would hang around in like a sort of blouson shirt with his arm leaning in a door talking trash. I'm sure that's true.
Last time you were on this pod telling me 100% something was definitely true. You then rang me later and begged me not to put it out so you don't get sued. Because it turned out you were... mistaken.
I'd misread something.
In the actuality.
In my haste.
The actuality differed from the version you absolutely 100% swore by.
Yeah.
Okay. I once went on the road with Crocus in my sounds days, just for like two shows. And...
Did your long stick go boom?
It did a little bit.
Yeah, I thought it would.
But I remember on the drive to the second show, I'm with Starace and... PR people, whatever, and we stop at this in the middle of nowhere, this sort of country pub, but quite posh, sort of like a mini castle sort of thing. I don't know what it was, And we go in, and they're like, are you
rock stars?
Yeah, they didn't say rock stars, but it was like, are you
with the festival?
Yes, exactly, something like that.
Yeah.
And Mark goes, because although he was Swiss, he had kind of an American accent.
No, he was Maltese. He was Maltese. Walter's only rock star. The rest of them were Swiss, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because he was Maltese / Swiss.
Yeah, and he had a kind of cod American accent that he got from Kiss live albums.
Yes.
Oh, international.
Oh, hang on, my God.
Oh, yeah. Press pause. Sorry,
I'm just going to record you taking this script call.
Hello?
Yeah, we had to pause there briefly while John took a phone call.
An international power call.
It was weird because I don't know who that was, but I could hear their voice.
It's the estate agent.
Well, it sounded like Jerry Ewing. Ah, John, mate.
Yeah, he's Ollie the estate agent.
Yeah, prog rock, mate. Yeah, look at my beard. So we go into this establishment in the middle of nowhere, sort of place you'd imagine a suit of armour, you know. And they sort of go, are you with the, you know, the show, or the whatever.
Are you with the show?
The festival.
The touring show.
Yeah. No, they didn't say that because they were like, you know, the museum or something. And he went, yeah, we are like a travelling circus. we bring joy to people's lives. We are travellers. I'm going, fuck's sake, just get a pint in, mate, you know.
Yeah.
Get a pint in.
But that's Starace. See, that's what Joe Elliott thought. That's why he wanted to fight him. That's
Joe
Starace.
Elliott wanted to fight Mark.
I'm sure he did. Well, you look, you're Joe's friend. Why don't you ask him? No, I'm not going to see him. You ask him.
Don't push me into the Elliott corner where there could be a Starace opportunity awaiting me.
Maybe you're the one to bring them together after all these years.
Joe and Mark.
Yeah, back together.
You've heard of Page and Plant.
Yeah.
Now comes Elliott Starace.
Yeah.
Could be like the two tenors.
Yeah, the two fivers.
The 299p.
Yeah, special offer.
Very good. Right, so back to
our list,
which we're going to return to. So AC/DC.
Yeah, quite rightly banned.
Neo-fascism.
That's what you were on the Channel 5 talking about. Bon
neo-fascism.
Scott. Bon Scott.
Oh. Yeah, but neo-fascism.
Well,
whole lot of rosy.
I don't know. You think about it. I mean, what year was this? We don't know what year it was, do we?
Okay. Well, I think you can say a lot of things about AC/DC, but neo-fascism.
Yeah, I've got to tell you. I mean, let's put this in perspective.
Oh, hang on. Oh yeah, violence. Yeah.
Yeah. So well, they're all violence. Every one of those bands is listed as violent.
Yes.
You know. Some...
Well, no. There's. Donna Summer is listed as eroticism.
Yeah.
And this is funny. Tina Turner,
yeah,
her reason for being banned was sex.
It's undeniable.
Van Halen, here's a good one. This one I can almost see. Van Halen banned for anti-Soviet propaganda.
Yeah, well, again, Van Halen always...
All-American band.
All-American band, aren't they, you know? So.
Here's a good one. Julio Iglesias, neo-fascism.
Yeah, well, I'm in Spain. Yeah.
Feelings, neo-fascist feelings.
Exactly, yeah.
Down with the Soviets. Oh,
we were all anti the Soviets in those days. That's what we've got to remember. We were.
10cc.
Yeah.
I'm not in love.
Sexual references.
Neo-fascism.
Yeah. Yeah.
The things we do for love. Yeah. The things we do to be fascist. Dun-dun-dun-dun. So what do you make of all that?
Well,
there's many more.
Okay, let me tell you.
Oh, one last one. Judas Priest.
Yeah. Homosexuality.
Funnily enough, no. Judas Priest, anti-communism and racism.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Racism.
I mean, if it was at the point where Rob was out of the closet, you can understand, the Soviet Union would have probably said something about that. But
well, this is obviously
racism.
The Soviet Union was gone by the 90s. This is the 80s.
Yeah.
Racism. Living after midnight. Some horrible racial epithet to Khan.
Yeah, didn't happen.
What are they talking
about?
Didn't
happen.
What are they talking about?
I can offer some perspective on this.
Oh, can you?
because
as a doctor of Russian history,
many years ago, and not that long ago,
many years ago,
my friend Dante Benuto,
oh yeah,
phoned me up. He said, "Would you like to come interview a band I've got? Their name is Rammstein."
Speaking of neo-fascists.
Yeah, neo-fascists from behind the Iron Curtain. And so it was when they first came over, I saw them at the Brixton Academy, which was a very good, very amusing show, and did an interview with them. And it had to be done through a translator because they are all from East, the former East Germany.
Right.
So though Germany had been unified for a long time, they hadn't grown up hearing English, speaking like a lot of... what were West Germans, people were on the west side of the wall, obviously grew up around English culture quite a bit. And
American culture.
And yeah, were taught it in schools and stuff. Didn't happen in East Germany. So they did interviews through a translator, and the singer didn't do interviews rather fantastically. So to talk to the other guys. But I was trying to sort of find some common ground with them. We talked about what it was like behind the Iron Curtain, you know, growing up. And they said... when they first formed, they decided they wanted to be a heavy metal band. They said that they had to go before a committee and play. And they said the committee decided what sort of band you were and where you were allowed to play. So they said they went before this committee and played and got categorized and then told where and when they could play, which was basically nowhere. And he goes, but they couldn't work out what was there, because they said, we thought we were like really, because we couldn't get any records, couldn't get any proper records. So we thought we sounded like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and all these names we'd heard. We said, but when they finally like managed to smuggle a few records in and they heard Judas Priest, they were like, my God, we don't sound anything like this. You know, so it was quite funny. But I think that is... probably sort of a bit of what's happening here. You know, you had this Politburo style organization categorizing music and who was allowed to listen to it and so on and so forth. Yeah,
no, absolutely. And they would have taken all the money as well, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, they wouldn't have let those bands in the first place. And I suppose there was a box ticking exercise in. So, because I remember when the famous Moscow Peace Festival did happen, it was kind of a big deal, wasn't it? Because it was sort of only someone like Dire Straits or something had ever been to Russia before then.
I don't think even they had. Maybe they had. I don't know. But yeah, very, 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 very few. I was there. Of course, you were.
You were one of the first people. You weren't on the band list.
I was afterwards, obviously. Yeah. Sitting in the back of a Zill. Yeah. Limousine.
Don't let that little jerk back
with
in
John Bon Jovi.
JBJ.
Cruising round Red Square.
Yeah.
Pontificating on life.
Yeah. Actually, thinking about it, weren't Uriah Heep the first band to go there?
Probably.
So I remember them doing a Kerrang story, and it was not like, I think Wendy Henderson went with Ray Palmer.
Oh, really?
I remember that.
The Dream Team.
The Dream Team. The only people.
If you happen to be a band on the bottom rung,
do you want to go to LA or do you want to go behind the Iron Curtain with Uriah Heep? Oh, I think I'll just go back to LA, please.
Yeah, I turned down that gig behind the Iron Curtain. Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't even know about it.
But it was probably, in retrospect, what an experience to have. Back in the days when it was the Iron Curtain.
Yeah, well, listen, I was there. I was there, John. I was there. I don't know if you heard me. I was there.
You were there. Was it 1987?
89.
Doc working out his penance.
August 89.
I just watched that on Netflix. I just watched that Bernie Madoff.
Oh, is it good? Because I saw the movie with Robert De Niro.
For some reason, I just kept thinking of Tom.
No,
it was good. It was interesting, yeah.
All right, and on that bombshell, we're going to leave it there for now, John.
Thank you very much, listeners.
Oh, they're listeners now, aren't
readers.
They? They're not callers or readers.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to call in next time, mixed numbers. Oh, so.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
How do I stop this, Fern?